Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God chosen for our meditation this morning is found recorded in the book of Leviticus, same chapter as our first scripture lesson, beginning at verse 20. And when Aaron had made an end of atoning for the holy place, the tabernacle of meeting, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions, concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. The goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to an uninhabited land, and he shall release the goat into the wilderness. So far, our text. Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Billy did it, not me. Sound familiar? Gets a little suspicious, though, when it's the 2-month-old that supposedly pulled the cookie jar down out of a 5-foot-high cupboard. If children really are completely pure and innocent, as the humanists say, I sure would like to catch the worldwide conspirators that so effectively teach them, lay the blame on anyone else. Get it off of yourself. And yet, before we hang those conspirators, we perhaps should learn from them how to teach so effectively. I did catch one of the conspirators, and he revealed their secret. They use 3 methods. Sure, they use the straight lecture method. You're number one. Serve yourself first. Dump it all on your brother. But they also use repetition. Just whispering continually from so many sources, you deserve better. Finger the other guy. They also use the example method, surrounding children, all of us, with continual demonstrations of people laying the blame on other people. But the conspirator I caught also revealed that their biggest secret is that they appeal to the lusts of our own flesh, desiring liberty. Get rid of the problem by dumping it on someone else. So, none of us are innately pure and innocent, are we? So, now that the secret's out, we can hang the conspirators. Me. And you. Because it's not just children that say, Billy did it, not me. All of us do. Adults sometimes get a real artistic skill polishing it, learning the etiquette of blaming others and adorning it with all the nobility and grace and self-righteousness of Pilate washing his hands. So, who is your scapegoat? Jesus says, let it be me. The high priest Aaron, as you heard, was to lay the guilt of all Israel on a goat, the scapegoat. But who do you and I lay guilt on? Who do we make our scapegoat? We all know when someone else is laying guilt on us. We resent it, don't we? And we strike back, blaming, dumping, fingering. It's been going on since Adam in the Garden of Eden said, this woman, God, that you gave me, trying to blame both Eve and God for his sin. So all the teaching, you come first. The repetition, you deserve better. The demonstrations of guilt laying all around us are imitated, picked up so easily by our own sinful nature that yes, we inherited from Adam. We lay the guilt on others, not only to shift it off of ourselves, but we even do it also to motivate and manipulate. In fact, it's so natural to us that we often don't even recognize when we are laying guilt on others. We develop our own artistic styles. There's the confrontational style. Well, it's your fault. You gave me the wrong information. You're not carrying your share. You always get your way. And then, of course, there's the taken out on anything style. Slamming the door and the cupboards. Yelling at the kids. Glowering at everyone. But there's also, of course, the whining style. I just have too many burdens. It's gone on too long. There's too much grief. I have too much pressure and stress and work. But there's also the professor of history style. You remember what happened the last time? Or you were the one that decided. It's always been this way. And we can't bypass the Mars versus Venus style. You are just being emotionally unrational again. Is it that time of the month? You can't lay this blame on me. You just don't listen and support me. And then, of course, some of us are such experts. We combine many styles. Plodding into the house with every slouching body part, shouting, "It's just been too much demanded of me," glaring with a double whammy that would cut through steel, daring anyone else to deny that they're the guilty ones here, they're the culprits, kicking some toys out of the way, plopping down on the couch, saying, "Haven't you done anything today? You know, you're the one that wanted me to do all this overtime to get this dumb furniture." It wasn't just Nero that found a scapegoat for his selfish and inane actions. Billy did it, not me. Who's your scapegoat? And yet none of us want to be the scapegoat, do we? Having guilt laid on us is pain to our soul. It's like a knife cutting into the heart. A red-hot iron burning our conscience. A great heavy weight crushing our chest. And when we lay guilt on others, it causes problems physically, emotionally, especially spiritually. Because none of us can keep on carrying guilt without leaving a scarred, fiery brand on our soul. We don't want any guilt, not our own and not others. And the simple fact is that not one of us can carry away guilt, can atone for guilt. Not even one little bit. And so when we use our expertise and our practice to blame others, we're just heaping up on that mountain of guilt that we deserve to carry on Judgment Day. How often hasn't jealousy, resentment, self-pity led us to think, "Why is he or she being praised? I've done more. and I did it better. And so we dump our criticisms on the other person, blaming them in our thoughts, if not in our poisonous words. Each of us has this inherited toxic poison in our very souls. And yet, when we try and dump that toxinous poison onto others, all we're doing is spreading more contamination. Who is your scapegoat? Instead of trying to see how we can shift the guilt to somebody else, the Lord recommends that we lay it on a goat. The scapegoat. On the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, this goat was to be led out into the wilderness so that all the guilt was carried away from them, gone forever. But let's face it, animals are just not reliable for such a task. On one Yom Kippur, a Jewish source relates how the man led the scapegoat out into the wilderness. He shooted away further and started on the long, hot trek back to Jerusalem. When he got there, welcome gates in sight, there was the scapegoat. It beat it back, carrying all the guilt right back, waiting to be led into the city. You remember singing? Not all the blood of beasts and Jewish altar slain could give the guilty conscience peace, nor wash away the stain. Who is your scapegoat? The Lord was not recommending that we use a faulty animal to take away our guilt. He was portraying the one scapegoat who can carry away all of your guilt forever. The one scapegoat who even wants you to lay all your guilt on Him, Jesus Christ. Yom Kippur is the trumpet call for us to kneel at His cross, confessing our sins to Him. As you heard in our scripture lesson, there were actually two goats on this day. One of them was sacrificed, killed, and its blood was poured out on the Ark of the Covenant to cover over our guilt before the face of God. And that guilt, fully paid for, was then laid on the head of the live goat, carried out into the wilderness to picture our guilt carried away from us as far as the east is from the west. This goat, this Lamb of God, shed His holy precious blood as the full payment for all your sins, all your transgressions, all your guilt. He paid it in full because He paid for the guilt of the whole world. And He is the one who now says to you, come to Me, all of you. That's universal grace. And because His atonement has been accomplished for everyone, you can know it's been done for you. Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's grace alone. There is no merit that you or I could offer, but Jesus has accomplished this perfect sacrifice completely by grace alone. And so you can know it's yours, complete in Christ. Come to Me. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me. Where do we learn from Him? In His Word, in the gospel of Word and Sacrament, where His promise is laid for you. There's no experience or merit or condition that we could ever meet to qualify for this, but because it has been promised to you by God in Christ, it is as certain for you as it was for the apostles. Come to me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. That's Jesus' own perfect righteousness, substitutionally supplied for you. He never blamed anybody else for his failures. Of course, he didn't have any failures either. But because he clothes you in his own perfect righteousness in a robe that was fashioned by the threads of his perfect life, you can know that garment will never fail to completely cover you. On our best day, we need nothing less than Christ's own righteousness. On our worst day, we need nothing more. Come to me, and you will find rest for your souls. Because his atonement stands for you by universal grace, by grace alone, by the promise that he has brought to you in the means of grace, the Holy Spirit wants to create in your heart that confidence that confesses, "You, Lord, have made me the holy child of God. You have made me the jewel-crowned bride of yourself." Jesus is calling, "Come to me. Kneel at my cross. Lay all your sins, your transgressions, your guilt on me. I will remove the knife from your heart, the red-hot iron from your conscience, the pressing burden from your chest. I will give you rest for your soul." Who's your scapegoat? Jesus says, "Let it be me." When we have such a scapegoat, why would we use another? Jesus is a scapegoat that never fails to carry all your guilt away forever. Every attempt to dump it on somebody else just brings it back to ourself before God. Even when others try to finger us with blame, we don't need to return guilt for guilt because that just leaves us both without atonement. Jesus left behind his heavenly glory, accepting that gory cross to give you the glory of being his jewel-crowned bride. Listen to the warm throb of Christ's beating heart inviting you, "Come to me. Lay your guilt on me and call upon him. For his day of atonement is complete, perfected forever by his one sacrifice for all. Call upon him, for Jesus is inviting you to be his holy bride in eternal wedding bliss. Call upon him in his love bleeding for you." Jesus says, "Let it be me." Amen. Please arise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.